Hi, this is Brian French with EstateSettlement.com. Welcome to our radio show. Today's special guest is Gary Shefferston, and Gary is the CEO and president of ResearchAmerica.com. This interesting company, what they do is they work closely with estate attorneys and they help find missing heirs. So oftentimes in dealing with an estate, there'll be heirs that will be required to be identified and found before an estate can be fully distributed. So Gary does the research work of finding missing heirs. Please welcome my special guest, Gary Shefferston with ResearchAmerica.com. Gary, why do you think heir search is important for estate attorneys? What is the primary benefit that you want estate attorneys to know about?
Whenever there's an estate, it could be a testate estate, but mainly in an intestate estate where your heirs are not closely related to the decedent. Typically, these type of cases are cousins or heirs, or maybe even an in-law, or there just aren't any heirs. This needs to be worked out. We have the capability to do that, having had almost 40 years' experience in the business. It's kind of a combination of genealogy and private investigative research. So oftentimes in a case where there's cousins, there might only be one side of the family located. And in that instance, we can account for the other heirs that aren't initially known.
So this is kind of, it used to be that families would stay pretty local to an area. In early America, people would stay in one region. But today, families are being split up and people move all the time now, right? And that makes finding people a lot harder.
Yeah, back about 100 years ago, there were many, many people who never traveled more than 20 or 30 miles from the spot they were born. Of course, that changed mainly after World War II, when people became a lot more mobile between the influx of different types of jobs that required different places to be, and the interstate system was a huge factor in that too. So people are much more geographically mobile than they were back then. So that's one reason why families aren't as closely knit together as they used to be.
And there's a lot of circumstances just with, especially when there's a offspring of on the female side, they will obviously go through name changes. When you go through back through multiple generations, that can obviously be pretty difficult to track down for somebody who doesn't do what you do.
That's right, because it depends on the state they're from, of course, and like you said, the females, when they get married, their name's going to change. You've got to be tracking that particular, you might be tracking a sister of the father of our person that passed away, and we don't know what her last name is. Well, then there's different records that we can check in the state where they were originally from, which is probably not the same place, like we were talking about, where they passed away, and find out who they married, and then trace them through different different records to bring them up to date.
Now, what's really important about your business is that if heirs can't be found, a lot of times attorneys could have some difficulty in getting paid for their services because they're being paid out of the estate. Is that what you kind of see as a kind of an urgent factor of doing heir search?
Right. One of the most important things is to, even if you can't find everybody, to identify everybody, because by not identifying everybody, you don't even know, in a lot of places and a lot of venues, you don't know what each person that you have identified is entitled to, because the shares break down in different amounts based on how many heirs there are. One instance could be, let's say that we're dealing with cousins again, and we know that the mother had three brothers, and we accounted for two of them, but we can't account for the third one. Well, now we don't know whether he survived, whether he had children or not. So we have to at least figure out, get it as far as, yes, there was another brother, and his share would have been this much, and so they can hold that in abeyance for his line. and then distribute to the other two lines. But you have to know how many lines there are to begin with.
I used to be a trust officer, and one of the things that was really critical is, you know, obviously you can't make distributions until you know of all the people and know their stake and share in the estate. Gary, if an attorney gets stuck, in other words, he obviously doesn't have the resources, what should they do? They should contact you, because they may hit a roadblock where they can't really move forward too much. So tell me the process of when an attorney calls you, what they can expect when they talk to your firm, Research America.
Right. Well, a lot depends on the situation that they have. Every case is a little different. I don't think I've seen two of them that were exactly the same, in fact.
So there's probably some steps in the process where talk to an attorney on the telephone. So you pretty much work on conference calls and sending information through like FedEx and email, and you can work remotely, is that right?
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially now, when we started, there was no, almost 40 years ago, there was no personal computers, and things have changed a lot. So not only do we have contacts all over the United States and Europe that we can work with, we have our own ability now where we can get a program online to check certain records that we need to see. Where back in, like, say, 1977, for example, you'd have to call somebody in the National Archives and wait hours and hours for them to do the work, where now we have the ability to do it ourselves, and there's a lot of different things like that that we're able to do.
So you have resources where let's say an attorney in California calls you, and they have an estate that they're settling or dealing with, tracking, you know, missing heirs that are in Connecticut, let's say, you can actually pull records and have resources in Connecticut, huh?
Right, and I actually have a researcher on call in Hartford that knows those records like the back of his hand, and he can go usually within a couple hours. And if we can't do it online, he can do it on the ground. If something's still back in L.A., we've got somebody in L.A. and we've got somebody in Sacramento that can work it from that end. So between all of us, you know, sometimes we've got three people working on the same thing, because it's all like me in the office, and then somebody recently I had somebody in Massachusetts and somebody in Richmond, Virginia, all working on the same thing at the same time. So.
That's fascinating, and that obviously is something that an attorney can't replicate. They can't find a professional person with experience to be able to search records in a remote location like that.
Yeah, and another thing is there's people out there, but you learn the hard way which ones to use and which ones not to use. So I've kind of got some really good contacts that's taken a long time to build up, to know which ones are going to go at the drop of the hat and get what you need out of Hartford or Boston or wherever it is.
And I can see confidentiality is really important, that they work with a firm that has, you know, these resources and that can keep, you know, this information private, because it is a private search that they're trying to conduct.
Right. Yeah, that's really important.
Is there an example, without obviously mentioning names, of a case that you found to be especially rewarding in your career, response from an attorney that you'd just like to share with the audience?
I did. It wasn't that long ago. 2 years ago, we got a call from Honolulu, and the attorney had an estate. The lady was interesting because the person that died was not from Hawaii, and none of the heirs were from Hawaii, but she lived there. She passed away in 2004, and they thought she was destitute. But 7 years later now, 2011, they find a bank account with $500,000. So the estate attorney called us. We went to work on it. And the interesting thing about it was that it was more difficult because the 7 years that had elapsed during the time she died and the time we started the case, some of the heirs had passed away. So we had 6 or 7 heirs that died in the interim, and then we had to find their rightful heirs. So we ended up with, I think, 27 people on that case, but we wrapped it up in the spring. So it took us a little less than 2 years to do that one, but I really enjoyed it because it was a challenge, and because of that 7 years, you had like little mini estates inside the biggest.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's very interesting. And you actually can track missing heirs not just in the U.S. You have resources where you can go beyond the U.S. too. So if somebody moves overseas, you could track them down too, right?
We do. In fact, we have 2 very good associates in London. We have a company in Paris that's been around for, I think, 100 years or close to 100 years, and they're obviously good. We have a company in Germany and in Austria, and 2 of these people have subsidiaries. One's in Italy, and the other one does Eastern Europe, which comes into play sometimes. So Europe's pretty well covered.
Well, it's fascinating. So anywhere on the globe, you have the resources and skill set and staff and the ability to do this very technical research. And what's really impressive to me is that, you know, this documentation that you provide obviously has to stand up in front of the probate court, right? So it's got to be 100% accurate, and that's why people need a professional.
Right. Like I said, if you can't account for them, you have to identify them at least, put them on the chart so we know Uncle Joe would have been entitled to 8% of the estate, but we don't know what happened to him, so we don't inadvertently give more money to somebody else Joe or his descendants were entitled to if they ever did show up.
Is there any statistics in your industry that show how much assets may be unclaimed in estates due to missing heirs? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of historical cases where somebody hasn't been found yet.
There's legends, and there's one in Texas that I think's been going on for over 100-something years.
Wow.
That is obviously in the multi-millions. Another one, I don't have all the details, but it's kind of interesting because it's a scary thing to me. Somebody had a will that had quite a bit of money, and they left all their money to all their descendants that were living 100 years from the date the will was prepared. So after me telling you about what happens after 7 years, I can't even imagine the complexity of something like that, which would be fascinating.
Wow, so people basically created a time capsule.
Yeah, they did,
and said,
a time capsule of an estate. And projected
100 years
is
going to open it, and whoever. So I'm sure people are thinking, boy, I guess I could have some kids, and it'd be interesting if they get familiar with
that. Would be a career out of that one case almost.
Well, that's fascinating because, I mean, you got to see, look at the assets, hopefully they're putting it, the assets grow over
here. Invested in something that was bankrupt during the Depression or something.
Or maybe they bought some Apple shares and it'll be worth
100
times more.
Right.
What are the different ways, Gary, that attorneys can hire you? Now, I take it they can pay you a certain fee on an hourly basis, and then there's probably different ways that people can work on that you work on compensation. How does that work?
Right. There's 3 main ways. The one is a specific, it deals with most of the cases are intestate that we work on, but occasionally in a case with a will, you can have a missing beneficiary. Either they didn't give enough information in the will, like I've had them where I leave to my cousins and they name the cousins, and that's it. No more information. There was like 7 cousins. In that situation, or the other way could be in a will where the address is no good anymore, where they did give an address, but the person moved away and they don't know where they are. If it's an individual, it's one person, and you have some specific information about them, we have a $350 flat fee search in that instance where we guarantee that we'll find them, or if they're deceased, we'll show when and where they passed away. That's the one. There's 3 main types. The second one is an hourly fee, and that's $150 an hour, and that depends on the situation there. Now, it could be a case where they have no heirs and they want to do an hourly fee, and oftentimes people ask me up front, how long will it take? Well, that's a question that's a big variable. I like to say, give me the exact time of this baseball game before it's played. You don't know.
Exactly, right.
So what we do there is we say, let's work with X number of hours, 5 or 10. At that point, we should have a good idea. Like, this is a quagmire, or, oh, I've already got it done. But going in, we don't know. So that's the second one.
Well, that's fair enough.
And the third one is a contingency. And usually on an estate, as we like to say, $50,000 or over, we can do it contingent. And in that instance, what we do is we look to any heirs that we find for compensation based on a percentage of the estate. Now, that way the estate itself doesn't have any expenses, and particularly in an estate where there are known cousins, say, these known heirs, let's say they turn out to be all on the mother's side, we'll do the research on the father's side, we'll look to them for compensation, and that won't impact the known heirs. So the clients of the attorney won't have to pay 10 cents for it, because they'll get their rightful share, 100% of it, because all our share will come out of the additional heirs that we locate.
Oh, okay. So you work off of kind of a contingency, and it could be kind of like just work kind of like a finder's fee? Is that the way it,
right,
in essence, it works?
Right. We have done it either way. We have had the estate pay us a percentage based on the heirs that we find only, not impacting their clients, or look to them, the people that we do find, with an assignment of interest for a certain percent of whatever they receive.
Okay. So, in other words, if the person who you find can be the person who pays you a percentage of their interest and not really affecting the other shares, or so that's very fair. And so you
right.
have a variety of ways that people can hire you. I take it you're available for consultation under the circumstances that people have a legitimate heir search that they want to conduct, and you do have some time available that you can consult with them and give them an idea of how you might proceed?
Sure, and we'll go over the details, we'll see what it looks like, and I'll give them my opinion, and then, of course, their opinion is the one we're going to take, but if we can work together on it, which probably we will. I have very rarely turned one down, but occasionally there's some wild thing that I know just isn't going to work out, but usually almost any case will fit one of those three criteria that we mentioned.
We're talking to Gary Shefferston, and you can reach Gary directly at 866-538-0546. And Gary does offer a free consultation with estate attorneys who need to see how they might be able to conduct an heir search program with their company. Gary's company is Research America. You can reach Gary's website at researchamerica.com. Gary, thank you for being on our radio show. And again, we welcome our listeners to contact Gary directly at 866-538-0546. Gary, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks, Brian. I really enjoyed talking with you.